Okay, so today we're going to finish up Mukha Veil. Tomorrow we're going to do the issue of the crowns on the letters. And then, you know, Rosh Hashanah stuff. Yeah. Yes, Rosh Hashanah. I know, isn't that amazing? Rosh Hashanah is on Sunday night. Aren't you all ready for Yom HaDin?
It's all like it's a shuvah and like say that you're bad.
Actually not. Okay, let's start with this. Let's start with this before we get into it. Might as well make a point of Rosh Hashanah. How many times in Rosh Hashanah do we say vidui?
Zero.
Rosh Hashanah is coronation day.
I'm becoming a king?
What is all connected?
Yes, Max, you are becoming king. You are becoming king.
It's all connected to Yom Kippur, which is...
Yes and no, but it's more complicated than that. But you remember that. Okay, good. Okay, so let's try to finish this today. Now, I will point out. Now, I know you guys are a bit overwhelmed by the sources, and I'm gonna try to cut down it a bit because that's a common complaint I've heard. But I will point out that you know these are all, that what I give you is you know a small fraction of the sources that exist. On this one, I was nice to you. The Beis Halevi, who's like the father of the Soloveitchik family, you know, Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik the first.
Oh.
The first,
like a lot of them.
Reb Chaim's, yeah, well, like the person we call the Rav, like the one from YU, so that's his great grandson, right? This is his great grandfather, right? Who was Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik before.
So there's five?
There are many. Anyways, he has an entire.
The Rav's still alive?
No. He died over 20 years ago.
The Rebbe's still alive.
Okay, look.
I know that.
Good. So he. Oh, God. So the end. Of his Peirush in the Torah, he has like a 10-page kuntres.
Just on.
He has a whole thing just on Mukav Kvil, which I didn't make you read. I'm so nice. I know. But let's try to polish off this question of Mukav Kvil. So if you look at 8 in the Torah, okay? So, Katuv Bismak. What's the smak?
It's safer. Wait.
Mitzvot.
Titanot.
Very good. She'im nafla tipat dio kodem shenigmara ot. If some ink fell before the letter was finished being written, v'lo haita ot nikeret, and the letter had not been recognizable, v'achar kach natal hadio, so then you remove the ink, or shelo haita mukevet gvil, or alternatively, it didn't have parchment around it, mitchilata, pasul dehevei kemochok tochot. So here is the next thing we have to. We talked about this a bit yesterday. Now we have to really get into it. So there is a principle, Safra's guys, called chok tochot. What does chok tochot mean? Literally, it means to
carve out.
To carve out, right? Right. Lachuk is to carve or to you.
To who?
You.
E-W-E, like.
H-E-W, like hewn stone, right? Stone, which is hewn, right? It's a word you use all the time, no? Carve,
yeah.
Fine. No, you don't. It was carve, okay? It's carve. So, the halacha is that you need to
write.
Good, you have to write. What you can't do is carve out. Now, the smak therefore says there are two things that are invalid because of. One of it is if you just have a blob of ink.
And carve out from that blob.
Yeah. Now, that's obvious. Wait, so but he says, one second. Now, he says, that's obvious. But this is even true if you have a letter that is, you tried to write the letter, but before you were finished with the letter, some ink fell on it. So there was no point at which the letter looked like a letter. I mean, it's obvious. You can't just take a black, or you can't take the Sefer Torah, right, pour ink on it, and then just start scraping out. That's obvious. That's chok tochot. That's not writing, right? But the smak says the same thing is true if I'm in the middle of writing a letter, and ink falls on it before it looked like a letter. I mean, I was trying to write a gimel, but then, you know, the ink spills. So it never looked like a gimel. And then I try to carve it out. That's not good. But then he says that the same thing is true. Shaloifa mukefet gvil mitchilata. And the same is if you didn't have parchment around it. Now, what does that tell you about how does he view mukefet gvil? The fact that he compares the lack of gvil, or the lack of parchment, a positive parchment space around the letter, to a case where I just poured ink and sort of scraped out the letter. What does that tell you about what he thinks Mukhevet Gvil does?
Makes it not a letter.
Or makes it a letter. I mean, non-Mukhevet Gvul makes it not a letter, which means that he thinks that a Kavet Gvul is about making it a letter. Right? Remember, this has been our question. Is it defining the writing? Or is it like a special halacha in Sefer Torah? It's clear from this line that he thinks it defines
the writing.
The writing, because he says, if I don't have parchment, it's like having black piece of paper that I then carve out the letters, right? Which tells you that he thinks it's about writing. And then he contrasts it. What is the case of something which is written but merely invalid rather than not written at all?
If it's connected to a...
Guess. In Kfar Haita Suyaki Tikuna, if the letter already was made perfectly, and then some ink fell on it, I can remove the ink. Why?
Because it was already a letter.
Because it was already a letter. Just got some extra ink on it that makes it invalid, so I can remove it. But that, from the fact that he has two categories, that which is written but invalid, and that which is non-writing, right? And he puts Mukav Gvil in the category of that which is similar to that which is not written. It's clear that he holds this is about writing. Vadoni avia rashzal pasal gam baze. My father invalidated this as well because of truma. Sefer truma because of od sheim asa reish kein dalid. Sheino yachol ligrod ulatakna. He said this. It's the same as trying to transform a resh into a dalid. But the Rosh says, right, a mem that gets attached to another letter, so that, right, now it's totally sealed up, right, because the mem is open at the fourth side, so that doesn't work. You can't just scrape that away. But if he says, if all that happened was that a little bit of one letter was touching another letter, so then it is mutter. Now what does that tell you about the Rush? How does the Rush imagine the problem of the lack of a kavet gvil when it's only a little bit? A mukav gvil when it's just a letter touching a letter?
It's the reading.
What does he tell you? Is it puzzle or is it non-writing?
It's puzzle.
It's just puzzle, right? You see, you have this machlok, right? This smock imagines that lack of HaKavet Gvul is not writing,
right.
But the Rush imagines that at least the lack of HaKavet Gvul, which is only a letter touching a letter, right, that is writing, it's just
puzzle.
Right, puzzle writing, right? So you see this machlokas playing out. We agree that Devik Odlot, Kadav Shemutar, Tchila Aktiva Yomani, Kotei L'Shem Kedushat Tfilin, Vein Dairon Achshe Yishol Liba. Okay, fine. Good. So now look at number 9. Look at the Beis Yosef quoting the Rashba. The Kasvu HaRashba B'tshuva. Right? This is the continuation of the tshuva that we saw. Uperish Tahachi Kamre Milamala Pasul. Lefi She'achel Naaseit Ot Nifsilat Surata. Vehilkach and Baligrod Hare Zekichok Tochot. Right? This is what we just saw. That if you have a letter that before it is even recognizable, right, there ink falls on it and you have to scrape it away, that doesn't work because that's right? It wasn't a letter before. It's only becoming a letter through the process of scraping. But if you have a word like tifartenu, and then the nudvav just goes a bit too far and attaches to the next letters, and then you just scrape away a little bit,
it is fine.
And then he goes even farther and he says, even if you don't detach it, it's fine, because since you have the potential to detach it, it's fine. And this comes from a weird halacha of Bila, where the Gemara has a principle that, i.e., a mincha, right? A flour offering has to have the right quantities to be able to be mixed of flour and water. But even if I don't then mix it, as long as I could mix it, it's kosher, right? As long as I have the potential to do it. So he says, even if I don't scrape it away, the Rashba says it's fine. Aval artzichahu tifarticha sha'akaf dvuka be'emtzait raglai matav tzricha. But if you have the words artzichah tifarticha and the kaf gets attached to the taf, so then you do need to. Klamar safek diklamemer da'af hi eina ot. Ad shi gamer regela ot sheba ligamre. Viklamemer dino kilamad v'kasher ad kan l'shon. It's a subject whether that's a non-letter or a letter. V'cheinu b'tshuvarim yuchasot l'ramban. V'nirash esmak ha'mifarish ken b'yerushalmi. Shumachi katav im lo haita mugev gvil b'tchilat asiyata. Damrin and the psula, the achar kach natala diyav kechok to chod psula. Klomar she nidvaka od kodem she digmar haynu betchilat asiyata psula. Velo sagi she avri ben sheyot yodat v'kora. Then he quotes the smak that you can't just separate it. Now, what does this halacha kach to chod teach us? Right, both in the Rashba and the smak. What does this teach you?
If it's already a letter, then it's fine.
Good, and therefore, what? How does it play into our? Right, so yeah.
Veal is on the writing.
Yeah, so let me. Right, and what is the machlokas therefore between the Rashba and the Rashba? And again, this is from the summary is basically from the Rav. Right, the Rashba and the Smak say that if two letters are attached, it is invalid. Right, you can't just scrape it away. The Rash says that you are allowed to, right? Again, so what is the machlokas now, right, that we've seen all the sources, again, we've said it over and over, but, right, summarize it, what is there for the halakha, right? What is this hang on, whether you think you're allowed to scrape apart two letters or not?
Based on what mukhaf veal is.
Meaning
it's either on the writing, or it's on the actual.
Exactly, right? If, I'll just read you the Rav's phrase. Imu pigam be'etzem tzura da'ot, if it makes it that it's non-writing, the letter doesn't work, or shetzura da'ot shleimav, enu mukav kvil, enu elab sol b'dinei, stam. If it's a complete letter, right, and you just view it as a localized halacha and dinei stam, right, of ktivat hamav, imperfect writing, so then you're allowed to kosher it by scraping it away. Because not chak tochot, because what does chak tochot mean? Now let's just flesh this out.
It
means making a letter by carving it out. But if you think that mukav gvil, right, the lack of having parchment around, doesn't make it non-writing, it's just not kosher for Sefer Torah, then I can kosher my Sefer Torah by detaching the two letters, because it's not creating a new letter, it's just adding the dimension of ktiva tama by detaching it. But if I think that chakto, that Muka, the lack of mukav gvil means that it's not written at all, right? Mukav gvil isn't just a halacha in Sefer Torah, it is a halacha in writing. So then if two letters were attached,
then you can't.
I wouldn't, because of chaktoko. And the fact that the Rashba and the Raj argue on this proves, right, that there is this machlokes about about whether or not this is a halacha in, right, it makes it non-writing, or is it that it is written, it's just that there is a, right, extra halacha. However, but then the Beis Yosef introduces from the Rashba another possibility, right, which is that it depends on when it happened, right? Does it happen at the beginning of the writing, right? If you notice this, meaning when you're writing it or later on, right? And the Beis Yosef understands the Rashba to distinguish in the following way and say, really, maybe in Brisker terminology, you call this Tzvei Dinim. There are two halachot, which is, if when you write the letter, it is already attached to another letter,
it's as if it was.
Then that lack of hakafa gvil is
as if it was not
written. It's not written at all.
What does that mean if it was attached? Like, you,
right, meaning
attached.
When you wrote it, right, two letters got attached. But if you wrote the letters and they were totally separate and then they smudged and now they're attached, so there's no mukav gvil, So then what's the halacha?
It's a kosher though.
It's kosher.
It was a letter, but you have to...
Exactly. And that's what the Rav notes from the Beis Yosef, right? Which is that there's really tzvei din in Mukav Kvil. Right? One is when you write the letter, it needs to be totally detached from another letter because it needs to be recognizable as an independent entity.
And they said there's a lack of...
There, if when you first write the letter, it's missing...
If it's
a space, right? It's missing space, it's attached, then it was never a letter. But if it was a letter, and then it got smudged, so now the lack of a kavod kvil is only a...
Why don't we...
Eksiva tama problem.
Yeah, sorry.
And therefore you're allowed to fix it, right? So you have three possibilities. One is that the lack of a kavod kvil is only ever a... Eksiva tama problem. The other extreme, it's that it actually defines the writing. And the third possibility is that there's two levels. Right? Midin ktiva tama, that the letter has to be perfect. You always have to make sure the letters are distinct.
Yeah, but even if it's kasiva, if you hold that it's kasiva tama, but it's like, then at first when you write the letter, it shouldn't be a problem.
Correct, but you might think there's a straight dinim, right? One is that you need to write it. It needs to take on the entity of a letter. Right? Once you do that, you can be more lenient. Right? But if it never, right... Right, basically, essentially, cursive
right.
in the Sefer Torah doesn't count, right? If it smudges later,
then it's not a problem.
Good. So let's just
Why don't we just like take a like in the other case, take a child, let him read it, and if you can distinguish that it's two different letters, they're just attached, then it's kosher, and if you can't, then it's not.
But remember, we said right that might just make it right. So we talked about it because some things are about the integrity of the letters, and some things are about readability, right? Clearly, the Mukav Kvil is not just about readability.
It's about the integrity.
Right, it's about the integrity of the letter. Right, these are about letter questions. Right? Is this a letter or not? Okay. With that as background, now let us just wrap it up. Halacha l'maisa. The rest is halacha l'maisa. Okay, these are it's relatively simple. Hebrew, right? What?
Where's the essay?
Good. But let's bring it all together. And then we're going to do crowns, and then we're going to move on to something else. Do you guys want to continue after this in Sefer Torah issues? Do you want to skip to some of the tefillin stuff? I mean, there's still a lot to do in Sefer Torah. What I want to do definitely, probably when I come back from America, right, which is the beginning of next month. I'm doing recruiting the beginning of next month, right, because it's so late. What?
So you're not going to be here?
So I go first, then he goes. Right. I eventually want to do tzitzis tchelet stuff, which is a lot of fun.
So
but that's
you're not going to be here.
No, I'll be here the first day, and then I'm going
to
disappear
for TMC.
I'm not. But
you going to Rambam?
I'm going to Rambam.
Ooh, it's ahead of my brother. He just said
I'm not going to TBC.
So if
now.
You can say hi to my brother. There.
He is. I'm going for a little bit. I'm going like first, and then McGinsburg and Roy Washington are going,
Rambam,
but we don't overlap.
Usually go to Rambam.
Yeah, Robert Ginsburg usually goes to Rambam, but if you're going, you can say hi to my brother.
So I'm going to Rambam. I don't know who else is going to Rambam. If people are going to Rambam at different points, but this time I'm also stopping
more
by Rambam.
Than two. Even more than one is still.
Alive. Well, there's always two, right? There's the round
yeah,
earlier, and then there's interviews.
One goes to the West Coast, one goes to the
East. No, because there's interviews. There's more than one trip during the year.
Robert Ginsburg did both.
He did both.
I'm at least making.
You went to Canada,
I mean, for us,
Toronto.
You did the thing in Rabbit Ginsburg.
Correct. It just depends on when we all travel. But I have to get back for a wedding, so I'm going early.
Manchester.
That's all. What?
So how long?
No, I'm doing Manchester this time.
Wow.
I did interviews in Manchester this time, but I'm also going to the Israel night.
How long are you going to be on for?
I'm leaving on a Monday, flying back on a Wednesday.
Not even a
week and a half.
The following Wednesday.
I think Ray Wasserman is going to take over. Anyways,
I'll take over.
That's better. Anyways,
this is like right after Sukkot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because of the leap year, it's so late. That's already the last week of October.
Oh my God.
Right.
Yeah, that's pretty late.
Right. Meaning the Manchester Israel night is the day after we come back. We come back on that Sunday. The next day is October 29th. Okay. Good. You'll tell me who's interested. You'll also tell me who's interested.
Yeah.
Okay, good. So Shulchan Aruch.
Like most of the kids at church and like most of the kids at Rochaim also. So.
Good. I mean, I know a lot of them also, but I'll...
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Like, I know them, like,
the people listening recording, like, I don't care about any of this. Good. Okay. Good. So let's wrap it all up. And Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says, good, my Safras guys, let's see the halacha. Sarich shelo tidbak shum ot v'chaverta. A letter cannot be attached to another letter. Elokol otie mukafet gvil. Rather, it must be separated by parchment. The Rama writes, "V'yichto k'tiva tama." It should be written perfectly. The coats of the yud, which we've talked about extensively, should be there. The crown should be there, which we'll talk about tomorrow. The best thing to do is write nice big writing, so it won't get erased.
So he's kind of
easily
mukaf kvil seem like it's kasiva tama type of thing. Not the
no, that's the Rama, right? Just,
oh, it's not connected to
right. The chayim mitzvah liapotan mechot mivnei. Now, the Taz makes the move. Now, the Taz makes the move that Nachum did. Right? Right? Good. Is that the Shulchan Aruch says you have to have Mukavet Gvil, and then the Rama says, and you have to write Ketivat Tama. So does that mean that the Rama thinks that...
Wait, you have to write Mukavet Gvil and...
Shulchan Aruch says write Mukavet Gvil.
Right.
The Rama interjects, and write Ketivat Tama. So what does that mean? Right, we've talked about this. Does that mean he thinks that Mukav Gvil is one of the many unique halachot only to Stam? Right, it's just a Ketivat Tama issue? Or does he think it's about writing? Right? Which one does he think? So Nachum is Medayik in the Ramah, as the Taz is. Ketivat Tama, why does the Ramah choose to make a comment about Ketivat Tama in the context of Mukav Gvil, of there being parchment? Perushi Yekol of Mukav Gvil, meaning Perush, that the Rama, according to him, thinks it's only a Ketivat Tama issue. Right? Chen Gaza Vatur, Vachazim Mori Vachat Nizal, Ulenyan Halacha Nirez, it's filin Pasol Benegiat Odlaot, Afilu Bishar Tevot, Ben Lamala, Ben Milamata, Ben Lo Tikun, Aval Besefer, Torah Yesh Lo Tikun, Ligoriro. Right, the Bach wrote that in Tefillin, if letters touch each other, you cannot fix it. Why not?
Well,
because he thinks it's non-writing, and by Tefillin you have the psul of.
Oh, this is the Bach. Okay, fine.
Shelo kehilcheta.
Right.
Sorry, shelo kesidra. But by a Sefer Torah, he thinks you can fix it, because as we'll see, Sefer Torah has.
Oh, wait, why?
Because Sefer Torah has less demanding standards of kesidron, which we haven't done yet.
Really? Sefer Torah is
I thought Tefillin yes. Called the Chomer.
Nope, yeah, but we'll get to that.
We're learning in Sefer's that if you, like, let's say, dedicated your parchment for Tefillin, you can't use it for Sefer Torah.
Correct. But in terms of fixing it, Sefer Torah is different, and we will have to see why that is true. What does the Taz say about...
Just more interesting.
But what does the Taz say? Don't get too excited. He says, "Upashur cheiz Talmud Torah k'tavo." This is obviously wrong. A mistaken student wrote this. Narishkayit ki behedei delekaman dal yidezel lo mikri shelo kesidran umutar ligrod bidivuk. He says, "No, even by tefillin, it's fine." Right? It wasn't the way you thought it was going to go. Or it was the other way.
Yeah.
Right? He says, as we've seen, the majority of the Rishonim thought that is it a ketivat tama issue. Right? I mean, what's the Bach saying that it's a writing problem.
Right.
And what did the Taz respond?
That's not.
It's a Ketivat Tama problem, and therefore you're allowed to go back and fix it. So ignore my father-in-law. That wasn't my father-in-law talking. That was some mistaken student writing, ghost writing from my father-in-law. It's wrong.
Wow. Okay.
Good.
I hate that. That makes like no sense. Oh, I don't like his answer. It is obviously a mistake.
Yeah, they have an interesting relationship. Okay. Now, let's skip down to 16. Okay, because this will highlight it. Now remember, what did we say is the biggest nafkamina? One nafkamina of whether it is considered just right. We've seen a few possibilities of what of the nafkamina of whether it's non-writing or it's writing is just a ketivat tama. So one of them is the lo kesidron, one of them is the chaktocho, right, scraping it away.
Right.
The third one is what? Is
the beginning or the end?
Is does it apply outside of Sefer Torah? Meaning, what's the test case every time?
Get.
Good. So based on everything we've said, what do you think? Do you need mukav kvil in the letters and get? What would you say?
No.
So we've seen. So remember, what do we see? The majority Rishonim said no. Remember the Ramban, the Tosfos, right? They thought not because why?
It's a
Ketivat Tama issue. What was the Ramban's proof?
It's
a get doesn't even have to be written in Hebrew, right?
But if you hold that it's part of writing, then obviously it doesn't.
But look at number 16, and this makes it a little bit unclear. The Shulchan Aruch says, Nagu lahachmir, shiotiot mukavet gvil. The minhag is to be machmir and require hakavet gvil even by get. So good, is that a problem or not?
No. Why would that be a problem? It's just ksiva tamah. It's a nicer way to write a get.
So is a problem that he says you need it in the get? You don't need ksiva tamah get? Ah, good. So at first glance you'd say, oh, why do you need it by a get? And the answer is?
You don't.
Because there were Rishonim who said you need it by a get. But fundamentally, the Shulchan Aruch is saying it's only a chumra. Mikra din. Does a get need it?
No.
No. Good. Exactly. He says, Vim yesh ba'od yod v'kod, yigar rabbi name lafridam. The Ramah says, and the Ramah says, eh, the minhag is don't even worry about it. Even lechatchila, Mishachar says you should be machmir like the Shita who think that it's a halacha in writing and therefore you need even by a get, right? Only as a chumra. What does Ramah say? No, it's so obviously wrong. Don't even be machmir. You're writing a get, and you see the letters are attached.
Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. Now, I will point out that there is a tendency by gittin that we try not to do things that are lechatchila sometimes. Right? Why?
Try not to do.
Yes. That. We try not to be too machmir. Why? We try not to bother too much about chumras and doing everything lechatchila.
It's hard to live up to those standards.
More importantly, what are we worried about in a get? What happens if we suddenly get all machmir?
If you're more machmir and someone makes a mistake, then the get's not good.
Possibly. And what else?
Someone might not want to write again.
Maybe. But also, we don't want to be motzi laz and other gittin.
I mean,
we're worried. By Gittin, there is this tendency that if something is kosher, we let it be and we don't try to be more machmir because we're worried that what will happen, we will start being super machmir and then someone will look at a get that relied on what's actually the halacha and say, oh, it's pasul, and then, but what's the cost if someone says a get is pasul? If the woman remarried, there was adultery, if there are kids, they're mamzerim, and therefore we're very, very worried by Gittin. To what's called shalola hoti laz, I'll get in that rishon. To not do anything that would call into question the legitimacy of previous gittin, and therefore a part of why we don't like chumras by gittin is because of this, right?
If you write,
if it's kosher, it's kosher, right? Don't tell me be machmir. No, because then someone will look at another get and say, oh, he didn't do it. And
do you have a chiyuv to refix up the get if it smudges later on?
No, once the get is getting him, it's fine.
You could rip it up.
It's done. We do rip it. Okay. Okay. What do we do with the get when we're done? What do responsible but they didn't do?
Hang it up on the wall.
No, responsible but they didn't. As soon as you give the get, they say, please give us the get back. They take a knife to the get, they shred it, right?
Why?
And then they give you a receipt that says you had a get. Why would you do that?
Here's your refund.
Why?
Yeah, isn't the get like proof?
So they issue a proof. They give you a receipt.
And they just keep the get as proof.
Well, good. Tell me why not. Daniel, tell me why not.
You might look at it later and say, oh, this is not proof.
Correct. We don't want anybody later coming and saying, I didn't like how they did this get. The woman isn't divorced. Or mamzerim. So we give the get. We shred it up. Right? Many Batei didn't do this. Shred it up. I don't know if all, but I know. I've been to Batei, know what they do. They shred it up and they give you a receipt and says, this woman got a get in such and such bedazin. Because now, what can't any future person do?
Look at the get.
Look at the get and said, I didn't like it. No! I have no idea what the get looked like. I just know that these Chashuva rabbis said that woman's divorced.
A lot of people hang their ksuba on the wall.
You know, we don't do the get, right? Yay!
We love divorce!
Right? Ksuba is weird enough because it's a prenup, right? It's just a prenup, a halachic prenup, right? Essentially. Right? The get is even weirder.
There's no key for a ksuba.
No, there is.
There is, but it is a halachic prenup. That's
not
what it is.
Civilly.
Oh, okay.
It is a halachic prenup. I don't mean the halachic prenup. The RCA is a halachic prenup.
If let's say you get divorced, do you have to look at the ksuba for like the amounts and whatever?
We don't
or do
really.
Do you do it civilly, like through whatever the. Not
civilly necessarily, but we don't usually incorporate the ksuba because the ksuba, the 200 skukim, the right. 200 comes out to a few $1,000s. And usually divorce settlements are bigger than that, so they include everything. So we don't like start adding it on top.
But you're not chayav to actually use the ksuba.
I mean, it's incorporated into. Right? It's incorporated into whatever settlement you have. Right? It's a few $1,000s. It's like nothing. Like, mamish, how much is silver?
Why? Because like the ksuba never like updated its amount.
We never update it because we know that people... In Israel, it's more common that you'll find people that actually write like... The actual money, especially in Sephardi circles, will write the actual money into the ksuba. No, they just do. They tend to write.
I know.
They write like millions of dollars into these things.
What's it based on? Isn't it all? Like,
ksuba is a prenup.
But isn't it all subjective to how much money you have?
No,
it can't be a million for everyone if you only make
correct.
5,
but you can write in how many. You can. The minimum of a ksuba is only right the 200, but. right? But
if you're a billionaire, then it's got to be at least
only if you commit to it, right? The ksuba doesn't, right? That's what I'm saying. In Sephardi circles, many people do actually write into the ksuba.
So
in most circles, they don't, because they expect that if, God forbid, there's a divorce, they'll have a settlement, and the settlement will be more than the few $1,000 of the ksuba.
What if you're really poor? What if you're really poor?
No, not necessarily.
Doesn't the court decide to come? Don't you come to a settlement with the court?
Not necessarily.
You can do it halachically, and then
you can go to a beis din. First of all, definitely in Israel you can, because in Israel the but they didn't are part of the system. They're recognized by law.
In America, it's a little more difficult to do so.
It's not difficult. You just sign a binding arbitration agreement, and then you can go to beis din.
In America, though, if you go to beis din, then the regular court will accept it.
As long as you sign a binding arbitration agreement. Yes.
They accept
the guys, for the record, yes. If you go to, in America, you can go to a beis din, and it will be recognized by a civil court if you sign a binding arbitration agreement. That's how the halachic prenup works.
I think they don't.
It doesn't work in Canada. Sorry, Daniel. Because in Canada, you are not allowed to sign a binding arbitration agreement. That has to do with marital issues. It is not binding. You can ask your mother about it. She spoke about it in a lecture a few months ago. You're like, she did? Yes, she did. She was on a panel of two rabbis and your mother discussing.
Who's your mother?
She used to be a family lawyer, so she does a lot of like outward stuff. So she knows.
Oh, cool. Wait, who just said?
And now she's a judge.
Yeah. Yeah, that was good.
That's why she knows this stuff.
When you give a get, you need a lot of divorce at that point?
Yes.
Okay.
What if the settlement's less than the, what it says in the get?
Dude, you weren't there for that lecture? It was a good lecture. I asked your mother to re-give it when she comes.
When she comes to visit in
December. Anyways, or some version of something secular law. And anyways.
Oh, that'd be a fun.
What if the settlement's less than what the ksuba says?
It's not going to be.
What if you're really poor?
Well, then you still owe the ksuba. But that happens like never. Ray Willig said in his entire life, once has anyone ever been mocked on the ksuba. Usually it's just settlement. Again, not necessarily in secular court. You know there are halachic issues with going to secular court, right? Can I throw this out there? Right? You know that? It's usur, right? You know this?
I think you're not supposed to if you can go to a beis din.
So there is an isur of going to secular court. That is not deniable. That is a gemara. Right?
Why?
Because you are chayev to be judged by the halacha of, right, the monetary law of the halacha, lifnehem. Right, below lifnei etiotav, below lifnei akom.
But you don't live in Israel, and aren't
doesn't matter
to follow the law of the land that you're in.
Yeah, so.
So then, if the law of the land is that,
so no. First of all, no.
Right.
Second, first of all, no. Because, right. First, remember, you can go to beis din. A lot of monetary law is based on agreement, right? The agreement can be reflective of civil law. That doesn't mean you have to go to the civil law. The beis din can determine it all. As well. Now, obviously, if you're against a non-Jew in court, you can go to the non-Jewish court. Right? If you're against a Jew, right? So there is a prohibition. Now, there is something called a heter hako. Well, you go to the beis din, and the beis din will say, for whatever reason, we can't handle it, right? Because there's a criminal component to it, because it's outside of jurisdiction, whatever. And they'll say you can go. But now, in certain places, there aren't batei din, there are corrupt batei din, there are problematic batei din, right? All these things complicate, right? Complicate situations, which I don't want to get into, but fundamentally, going to secular court raises halachic issues, which you should at least discuss with the posek. I don't want to get into all the details.
Just go to Rabbi Jachter and you won't have a problem.
But it is not so simple. I'm just saying that. Okay, I'm just going to put that out there.
He's like the beis din of America.
Okay. So, good. Guys. The Yesh Megillah Chaz Atchak, Latakin, Godem Jechnu Aedim. Some say you can fix it as long as right before the. Now, there is a secondary problem, which is the following. If you think that the lack of Hakafat Gvil makes it non writing, so the Mechaber introduces another problem, is that by a get needs to not just be written, but it needs to be written from beginning to end under explicit instructions from the
Rabbi.
Husband. No, from the husband, from
who
the Baal.
Writes it then?
A sofer.
So he has to hire somebody to write it?
He has to tell him to write it. Command him to write it.
So they're not like pre-printed?
No, a get? No. No, no, no.
Pre-written?
No.
Just fill in the blank?
No. And so if you ever go watch a get, you'll see that what they'll do is they will say, the Bezin will say to the husband, appoint this sofer to write this get and as many gittin as he needs to get a kosher get out. The reason he does that is because the get that is written needs to be written by the instruction of the husband, and therefore if the first get is messed up, if you didn't explicitly say, the husband didn't explicitly say, you can write as many gittin as you need, he can't write a second get, because he only got permission to write the first one.
You can just call him and say, can I write a second get?
You could, but we... So that gets into a question of whether you're allowed to do it on the phone, which is not clear. It may have to be in person.
Does he have to be there at the time of the whole writing?
If you can't even do it on the phone, in person still, it's not like a
fine
problem.
Well, it's sometimes it's... Well, that's why the Bezdin... But that's why the Bezdin...
Can you come here so I can ask you a question?
Correct. It's a big thing. I've written about it. But if you... Right, Jackson wrote one of the classic articles on it. On video teleconference gets. No, he just needs to give the instructions. But the problem is as follows, is what happens based on this principle? Now tell me, if you think that the lack of a kavak veil makes a non-writing, even if you think you can then kosher it by scraping it out, what's going
to
be the problem?
The husband has to
re-instruct.
Why?
That part of it, right? Because you wrote it, it became pusle, it got smudged.
He gave him permission to write as many as he needs.
If he did, right? But what if he didn't? What if he just said, write a get?
No,
so remember, what if just...
that get.
No, it's not.
It's just he messed
no,
up.
No, it's not. That's what? Not called writing
why
the get. No, that's exactly
if
the
I
problem.
Chapter
no,
by chapter,
no,
it's still part of
nope,
one book.
Nope, not in halacha. Nope. And that's why, right? And that's why Shulchan Aruch says that some people are mekel before the signing, but only kishabal mitzvah l'takein. Right, mitzvah l'takein. Only if the husband told you to fix it. Right? Because once you're saying it's possible, if you want to be machmer l'shita, that lack of a kavak veil makes it non-writing, and therefore you need it by a get, not only do you need it by a get, but if it became smudged and now you have to go back and fix it, you would need the husband to tell you, right? This is a second chumra that would come out of this. Whereas that you would need the husband to say, I allow you, I instruct you to fix this get. Because no, you get one chance. Unless you say you have as many...
I understand, but it's...
Now, you're right. This is why if you go and you see a get, what you'll see is that they will say to the husband, give instructions to the sofer to write this get and as many getting as necessary. But if he didn't... Now, we have a little bit of time, so maybe I'll just conceptualize this for you. Why do you think you need to do that? Right? Why conceptually?
Because it might seem like the guy wrote the get without the husband's permission.
So, okay, but why do you need the husband, like such a direct permission from the husband?
Because he can write anything and the husband's bound to
it. Yeah, but why can't you just print one off from the computer and then just fill in names? Why is it that you need it? Why do you think? Yeah, but why do you need that here? You don't need it by a ksuba. Ksuba, you can print one off the internet. Why do you need one by a get? Now, the reason in the pasuk is because it says v'chasav la sefer kritut. But the reason,
bigger consequence.
But the reason the gemara is because v'chasav la sefer kritut. You have to. He has to write for her, and therefore it has to be. You need a shleach here because it needs to be written by the husband halachically. But why? Why do you think that's true?
Because there's bigger consequences here if something goes wrong.
So you could say that.
Really?
But
yeah,
the ksuba's not...
Ksuba's almost not important at all.
You just need the...
The way Rav Lichtenstein used to say it... The way Rav Lichtenstein used to say it is it's more than that. Is that the get is the halachic instantiation of his desire to divorce. Right? And therefore he needs to imbue it with his...
Wait, so why can they force someone into the get?
You can't.
He needs to be the one who says...
Ah, good. You can't. Exactly. That's exactly why a get cannot be given Baal Karcha. It is not possible.
So,
a get cannot be given Baal Karcha.
Don't we have like those rabbis in the van that come kidnap you, beat you?
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that. FBI stopped you.
No,
but you're asking why in halacha...
FBI stopped you.
So,
halacha clear.
So why in halacha? Ah, good. So in halacha, good. This is very good.
No,
in halacha, what do you have to force the guy to do? How
to
can you force
him,
again?
You have to give.
Don't
to force
they put
him in
harem?
What?
You have to force him to give in.
Yes.
He has to say.
Kofuno so ad sheyomer rotani. You force him until he says, "I want to. I want to. I want to."
What if he doesn't want to?
So
you can't. So good.
You can't do it for him.
So
but you
Nate's
can,
asking the Rambam's question, and the correct, and the Rambam says. Because deep down he wants to do the right thing. And therefore he it expresses his truer self.
I'm not sure about that. If he really is going through the torture.
No, but he's saying.
I don't think he really wants.
No, but he does, because deep down he really wants to do the right thing. His Yetzer Hara makes him not want to do the right thing. You're just torturing him to strip down the Yetzer Hara down to what he really wants, which is the right thing.
Does the Torah actually give explicit permission to like hurt
really
somebody?
I'm really a good guy. You know, deep down.
Oh, that's a story for a longer time of where this Yetzer comes from.
That's other averos then. So, like, are you actually allowed?
So, in general, halacha does have coercive. There is coercive rights in.
Like they're okay with torture.
So in general, if someone doesn't perform a mitzvah aseh, the rule in the Gemara is that you're allowed to beat him, right? You're allowed to beat him with an inch of his life until he does it. You don't want to take a lulav.
So just like
just keep going until he says, I'll do it.
So just straight up makos till he's almost dead.
Well, yes.
No.
Interrogation. No. Makinoso acha teche nafsho. The Gemara says, beat him until his life leaves him.
You can't waterboard him?
Just beat him.
Technically, that would be if you can. I would say you can. You can waterboard him.
When you can do it, under what circumstances, don't ever do this. Don't. I want this. I don't want anyone listening to the recording. He's in favor of torture. No, I'm not in favor of torture. But the law in the books.
It sounds like an elite force of the army.
Yes!
Why would you?
It sounds like a really elite force.
Good. Pull up. Okay. Guys.
Terrorists give you information if you torture them.
Okay, guys. The Taz just notes.
Wait, they give you
fake. Guys, the Taz just notes that. It could be that a very, 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 very inconsequential touching of letters is not the problem we're talking about. Right? He says, "Nireh dahinu imudvukot mamash." Ugiya dakayin kveda laafrid. If it's really like almost nothing, especially by a get, where it's not even really, it's only a chumrah to begin with.
Slight line touching between
two. Or something like that. That's not a problem at all. Now the Chelkos Mechokek just writes that this is only a chumrah. Right? He says,
"What is he saying about Phillips?" Oh, sorry.
He's saying, "Remember, there's only a chumrah here." Right? And the Chelkos Mechokek makes clear, he says, by Sefer Torah, right, you need Hakavad Vil. He said, here it's just a Chumrah. But he says, why are we Machmir? So one possibility is that we're Machmir because there were Shittot who held that you need Hakavad Vil. What's the other possibility? Why might you be Machmir again? One possibility is because there are Shittot who think you need Hakavad Vil. What's the other possibility? Daniel? You said it because sometimes something is pasul simply because it's lacking a kavod vil. But sometimes what happens when letters get attached? Yes, they become non-readable. And then that's pasul even by gittin. And that's what the Chagim Chokei is right. He says, even though really the requirement for parchment around is a Sefer Torah halachas, you shouldn't need it by a get at all. Why are we machmir? We're machmir by get if possible. Because sometimes when letters are attached to each other, it's hard to read. Like, everybody knows this. What's easier to read? Block print or script?
Script.
Right? Script. Beautiful cursive is just so easy to read. Right?
Is this so you can go back and fix it, or this is sort of kosher again?
Kosher it, right? He says, the reason we're machmir, he said, it's nothing you really...
You still need the husband's permission.
No, he's just saying why we lechatchila tell you to write the letter separately to begin with.
Right.
And he said the reason is because it's not because you actually need Hakavod Vil. What you do need is readability, because readability defines as a letter. He said usually it's harder to read something that's attached to the letter next to it, and therefore it's not that you really need it. You only need it by Sefer Torah, but you need it b'diev lechatchila by a get, because it's dinu lochachum einyach likros aos was divko afshur the medina apostle. He said because if a kid couldn't read it, it might not be kosher at all. Are you saying if it's really not readable, it's not kosher, or possibly not kosher, and therefore we might be machmir to have a kavod gvil because it makes it easier to read, and then you don't run into potential problems of it not being readable at all. And that's what the Beis Shmuel says as well, right? That this is only a chumrah. And he says, now what is another? He said, now the Beis Shmuel adds another nafkamina. He says, if it's true that the only reason that we tell you lechatchila to write a get with hakafat gvil is not because you need hakafat gvil, but because we want it to be readable, then what type of hakafat gvil do we care about, and what kind of hakafat gvil do we not care about?
We care about it touching other letters.
But we don't care about it?
Surrounded by all.
Perfect. Right? And the Beis Shmuel says, right, remember, when hakafat gvil is a positive requirement, it needs it on four sides. So by Sefer Torah. But if you're telling me that by a get, you don't really need it. You only need it because it makes it readable. So then the only type of a covet fill you'd be machmir for is? You don't want it to touch another letter, but not on the bottom. Right? A get can go all the way to the bottom because it doesn't need a covet fill in a positive sense. It just needs to be readable. And therefore, that's what he says. He says, and therefore he says, v'nafka mina mizeh, im kazav eiza oz, v'in mukav gvil lamato kol ma'ala kasher, if the akavat gvil by get is not really that you need akavat gvil, it's just that we want it to be readable, so then
it can go all the way down.
Right? Then the only type of akavat gvil, even lechatchila you need by a get, is the one that attaches it to the letter next to it. Right? Or to not have it attached to the letter next to it, but
so
the one on the bottom.
So it could be in the airspace as well.
Correct. Or in the airspace. Bidiyuk, right? All the types of agavat gvil that are about positive agavat gvil will only need by Sefer Torah. By get, where the only reason you might need it is because of readability.
Wait, but what if it's able to be scraped away?
Again, by get, fine.
Wait, but that's. Isn't that chaka?
But by get, it might not matter. Again, this depends. If you think you need it, mi'ikra din, like there is a ruah, right? So then you're right. By get, you have all the halachot of the Sefer Torah. You can't scrape it away. But if it's not mi'ikra din, it's only about readability. Right? But since Shulchan Aruch says we try to be machmir, right? We're trying to be machmir. For, right? If you're being machmir, so then yes. Then you have to worry about chok tofa. Correct. Okay. Let's just read the halacha that summarizes what we said in number 12. Go back to 12. Mem ptuchash nidbak ptichacha v'nistema. A mem that gets attached to the next letter. Ein moel ligrora devek luvotcha. You can't just scrape it away. Mishum devek kichok tochot. Because it's chok tochot. It's carving out rather than writing. Umata kanata. So what do you have to do to fix it? Shigor kolach charatum. V'tishar kitzuret nun kfufa v'akach yichtov mashigor. Scrape it away. Rewrite it. Vinig, right? What? We just scrape it away to be a nun, and then
okay.
Vinidbeka oat la oat, bein kodem shigar bein laachar shenigvera. And if it got attached before you finish writing it, it's pasul. Vimgarar vefrida kasher v'lo mikri chavtochot me'achar oat be'atzmai daktuva k'tigna. And Shulchan Aruch paskins, like I said, by the position that there are two levels to mukav gvil. Right? One is when you write it, when it's about ksiva, and the other is later on. And remember what the Rashba says, the Shulchan Aruch paskins like it? If when you wrote the letter, it was never separated from the other letters, are you allowed to fix it? No, it's chok tochot. But if it started out as a kasher letter, and then what?
And then
it got smudged, so then he paskin that type of hakavik vil is only siva tama, and therefore you're allowed to scrape it away?
Yes. What's considered after the fact?
Once the letter had a moment at which it was recognizable independently.
Is that once it's dried? Or
presumably once it's dried, right? That it was its full letter. Wow, it is loud on the other side. Okay, good. Now,
it really worked.
Now, what about the good? Now, what about the next chok tochot? We said that one type of chok tochot is touching the other letters, but we said that there is one understanding of chok tochot that it's not just that it can't attach another letter, but that it needs space, including airspace. So remember that one, right? Is it about not being touching another letter, or you can't even have a lamed going into a hay? So, right? Do we paskin that you need that type of mukokvil? That you need positive space? Yes or no? Yes. 13? 13?
Yes.
Look at 13. Yesh li zoher shelo yikanez rosh alamid ba'avir ahay o ached afil v'lo negia. We do paskin that way. The Taz says...
It could be touching another letter, but it can't have its own...
But...
It needs its own airspace.
But is it lechatchil or b'dieved? That's the question. So, the Taz writes... Look at the Taz. The Taz says... B'vez Yosef b'shem Ramban gaz loshon psula. or the Ramban says it's puzzle, meaning that airspace is actually part of the letter, right? The airspace around the letter is the letter, and therefore without airspace it is puzzle. But what does Yeshli Zayar sound like? It's only a Yeshli Zayar. You should be careful about what does it sound like? Chumra, and therefore the Taz says the Ramban thought you needed, right? That if his head goes into the hay, is it kosher? The Ramban? No, it's puzzle, because according to Mukha Kvil, it's not just about severing from other letters. What is it? About giving positive airspace, giving each letter its own space. But the Meis Yosef only says Yeshli Zayar, which sounds like? He thinks that Me'ikra Din, we paskin, that the only type of Hakavik Vil that's puzzle, lack of Hakavik Vil, is you're touching another letter. But Lichatchila is being machmir, and the Taz says, I don't know why. I think you should be machmir, Me'ikra Din.
I would say, right? It looks like another letter.
So that may be what the Beis Yosef thinks, that we only do this Lichatchila. But B'di'evet, all we think Hakavik Vil is that the letter needs to be distinguishable. And if the Ted goes into the hay, it's distinguishable. Right? It's only a Chumra. But the Taz says, no, the Ramban thinks that a Kovic Bill teaches you that a letter to be a letter needs space around it. Just the last source, Shari Tshuva. The Shari Tshuva says, okay, why does the Taz not like this? Right? The Taz doesn't like the Shulchan Aruch, which says, Sheesh Lizar, Dafil B'dievet Pasol. So he says, V'ayin V'shut Makam Shmuel Jevi. The Shari Tshuva says, I think that the reason Shulchan Aruch says only Yeshli Zahir is exactly what Max said, is that he thinks that lahalacha, the position of Shulchan Aruch, is that lack of a covered veil that makes it not readable is non-writing. That's ma'akev. Lack of a kavak veil that just takes away the airspace, that's only lichatchila, right? The Taz argues and says, no, you need positive. So la'alacha, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that really make radin only by a Sefer Torah, only at the beginning of writing, and only when it touches another letter. Lichatchila, you should be machmir to have a kavak veil always. And even the positive sense of a kavak veil, meaning you can't have a lamed going into a hay, but b'di'eved, Shulchan Aruch is mekel. The Taz is machmir and says, no, a kavak veil doesn't just require legibility, doesn't just require a letter not to be separated to others, it requires that each letter has its own airspace, right? But that's all by Sefer Torah. When it comes to get me'ikar a din, we think that mukav veil is only a din in ksiva tama. Lichatchila were machmir by get, either because the arshita to say you need it by get, or because it helps with readability. But therefore, Shulchan Aruch says you should fix it. But it's not ma'akev. What does the Rama say? Since it's not ma'akev, don't even bother, right? Because we don't want you to worry about it at all. And again, the Chelgen Chogag and Beishmuel said we only thing we care about are. Right, is readability by get, really, and that's the reason we need a Kavak Vil. And the last point was the Taz, that even when we talk about this type of Mukav Vil, it's only what? When they're really, really smushed together. But if it's just a little bit, especially by get, where you only need it for readability, right, don't worry about it. Right, it's only when they're really, really attached and readability is affected, but a little bit, not a problem. Okay, tomorrow what I want you to do is read the Gemara on Chavtet Amid Beis, read the Agarata. There's an interesting Agarata there about Rabbi Kiva going up to Shamayim and seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe going up to Shamayim and seeing God putting the Ketarim on the crowns of the letters and asking him why, and God says, because Rabbi Kiva will one day come and will learn Halakot from these Tagin. I want to understand the Tagin.
Who came up with that?
Wait, what?
God, and then...
No, not that. I'm saying, who came up with the idea that when Moshe went up, God showed him how to do things?
So I want you to... So we're going to just... Okay, I'm not going to get too much into the Agadah because I want to do it in Agadah this year. We'll deal with parts of it as relevant verse. So again, then the Gemara introduces the necessity of crowns on what are known as the Shatnez Getz letters to go until... Right, basically read the Gemara until... where it says Shatnez Getz. There you go, Shatnez Getz. And if you want, you can start reading the Agadatas, which are interesting. We'll get you in the mood for Rosh Hashanah of why a chet looks the way it does, why a hay looks the way it does, because, you know, so that you can do tshuva and climb back up through. You've probably heard these Rortlach before. It's actually in the Gemara, right? That the reason these letters are, they're teaching you all types of lessons. You can read them. It's nice Rosh Hashanah Torah. We'll try to do the crowns tomorrow. I'm going to try to do this just tomorrow because we don't have Shira then until after Rosh Hashanah, so I just want to do it in one day.
But a lot of us have suffers during your so we don't come at one time. Oh. Suffers.
So maybe we'll okay. So maybe we'll discuss it a little bit during. We'll see. We'll see. Okay. But in the meantime, read that tomorrow.